2 billion lines of code run Google.
Wow.
Now, Kevin, you're a coder. Is that a lot?
Sounds like quite a lot to me, yes. I mean, you know, lines of code is always a silly metric.
Yes, I agree.
But,
yes.
You know, it's just like, well, it depends how terse your language is. And it also encourages people to write ridiculous Perl scripts that fit on one line, which is not helpful.
Right, that's not good either. Microsoft Windows, they estimate in the realm of 50 million lines. This comes from Google's Rachel Potkin.
Now that surprises me.
That's I think that's a low number. Code. I don't think that's accurate.
Really?
Low? It's, oh, yeah. Absolutely, wow. That's low. Modern operating, I bet you Chrome is 50 million lines.
Really? I would think it'd be more efficient than that.
Well, lines doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
That's not an inefficiency, as Kevin's pointing out. Some of those lines are comments.
but Kevin's right there. We lost the scarcity of space with memory. I remember way back when I worked on the San Francisco Examiner, and we had SII terminals. They were smart terminals for publishing. And when somebody put hyphenation and justification and managed to fit it locally in the terminal, that was mind-boggling that was possible. Absolutely mind-boggling that could be done. And it could be done because there was such incredible efficiency in the code.
Chromium, which is the open source version of Google Chrome, of course we can count the lines in the open source project, is 17 million lines of code.
Okay.
That's for a browser alone. So 50, I think, is low for Windows. But in any event, 2 billion, I don't know, again, like Kevin says, doesn't really mean anything, but it's
yes, there's a certain amount of going on here.
Rachel Potvin mentioned this at an engineering conference in Silicon Valley. It's an estimate. That includes Google Search, Gmail, Google Maps. Again, it's a rough estimate, although I suppose you could count them. They're in a single code repository. That, to me, is more interesting. All 25,000 Google engineers have access to the Google code repository. She says, and I think this is probably the case, it's the largest single code repository anywhere in the world.
Wow. Okay.
That's a big deal, isn't it, Kevin, to put all of that code openly to it in a repository?
It's like one repository? That sounds a bit of an interesting
Well, if it's GitHub, GitHub has a copy of it everywhere that it sits. So.
Well, it's Git rather than GitHub, yeah.
Yeah, it's Git, right? Yeah. Not GitHub, Git.
I think it's Git now. It wasn't Git when I was there, but that may have changed.
They use Git. Do they use their own CV?
There was a mixture of things. There was some that was in Mercurial, and there was some that was in Perforce.
Oh, I'm sure it's all moved to Git by now.
They may well have moved it to Git by now. I don't know. And they've done a big project to move a lot of the external facing stuff to Git, certainly.
So did you? I mean, when you were there, could you access the repository?
Yeah, of course. That is true. That's the point. The point is that everyone can see the code. You've still got to send pull requests to people if you want to change things, but there's a process of doing that.
I would hope so.
Well, there's a complicated process of different kinds of committers and who gets to commit things, and you have to have what they call readability in different languages.
Yeah.
So that you have to, in order to submit changes to something in a certain language, you have to prove your competence in that language and so on. There's a sort of a big peer process for this.
Oh, this is interesting. So the main Facebook app is 20 million lines of code, according to this article. And Facebook and Google are working on an open source version control system based on Mercurial. We're attempting to see if we can scale Mercurial to the size of the Google repository.
There you go. So, yeah, because they have been using Mercurial, which is the Python-based
Explain to people who are not programmers what a code repository is.
Well, the point of having a source code control system is that it doesn't just keep the current version of the code, that's useful. It keeps all the previous versions as well, and lets you see when they've been checked in and out. An analogy would be the edit history you see on Wikipedia. So you can go back to any previous version of the code. You can see who made the changes. You can selectively also create what are called branches. So you say, okay, I want to go off and try a side project here that doesn't go for everybody else's code. Work on that, and then when you're happy with it, bring it back in. So it's a model for doing lots and lots of edits on text in parallel and making sure that you have all the versions of it. And this is, obviously, this is a core problem for programs. Before we had this, it was you were doing the same things people do with documents, where you save like version one, version two, and save copies and all that stuff. And if you, you know, it's also, we get bits of this behind the scenes now in, if you look at, you know, Google Docs or Word's track changes and things like that, there is a sense that there are previous versions of the documents there. You know, Apple has like previous versions of the document.
Versioning is very handy, yeah.
But it's a hard problem. But it's a lot of computer science has been thrown at it, so we've got good ways of doing it now.